Chazayin Amid Aleph, four lines from the top. In the Mishnah it says that on Rosh Hashanah, they were in the Beis HaMikdash, they had Chatzetzritz and they had the Shofar. They had trumpets and they had the Shofar. So it says on Rosh Hashanah, when the primary thing was the Shofar, so they had the Shofar was blown in the middle and the Chatzetzritz on the sides. And on the fast days, where the trumpets were the primary thing, the trumpets were in the middle and the Shofar was on the side. So the Gemara asks a very famous question, so to speak. Can you hear two sounds at the same time? They heard the Shofar and the Chatzetzritz, the Gemara thought now simultaneously. Yeah? So how could you hear the both sounds at the same time? For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Zachar v'Shamar. Like we say in Lachadeidi, Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur echad. Right? Like we say in Lachadeidi, the Hashem, by the Aseres HaDibris, in Yisrei it says Zachar, in Vaschanin it says Shamar. So the question, did Hashem say Zachar v'Shamar Shabbos or Shamar v'Shamar Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Hashem said Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur echad. Simultaneously, Hashem said Zachar and Shamar together. And it says, Masha'ein ha'pe yachel l'dabar. What's wrong? What the earth, what the mouth can't speak, what normally an ear can't hear. Meaning, what do you see from the Braisa? Hashem made a miracle that you can hear Zachar and Shamar at the same time. Which means normally, you can't hear two things at the same time. Like we know, physically you can't hear two things at the same
time.
Yeah, but here you're talking about being able to concentrate on the Shofar. To concentrate on the Shofar to be able to Yetzer the mitzvah. Okay, so he says that's the Gemara answers. Lekach meidach b'shofar. Therefore, the shofar was extended, meaning they blew the shofar and the chatzesis together. But when they finished blowing, then they continue with the shofar. So the shofar was the sound that they heard by itself after they finished blowing. So the Gemara asks the question, the Meimre, should we say, the Chisham HaSeif Tkiyah, that if you hear the end of a blowing, B'lei Tchilas Tkiyah, without the beginning of the blowing, Yata Yoyaitza, and therefore, Tchilas Tkiyah, if you listen to the beginning of a Tkiyah, B'lei Sof Tkiyah, without the end of the Tkiyah, Yata Yoyaitza, we're going to learn not like that. Meaning as follows. What is the Gemara saying? They blew the Chatzetzris. Damn, everything spilled.
There was something on the stuff. That one too?
Right. But you need Windex or something. It's not going to... The question is, the Gemara says they blew the Chatzetzris and then they continue with the Shofar. That means the beginning of the Shofar, though, they didn't hear. Mm-hmm. Because that was together with the Chatzetzritz. You can't hear two things at the same time. That means they only heard the Shofar, the end of the Shofar blowing. Not the beginning. So, Marcy, you're telling me that if you hear the end without beginning, you're Yaitza, which means that if you hear the beginning without the end, you're also Yaitza. So, the Gemara asks, Tashma, I'll ask you a question. It says, Talk about Isha'ina, Umashah B'Shniyah Kishtayim. A person blew as follows. To give an example of not only what they used to do in the olden times, but our system. We blow Tkiyah Shvarm Tuna Tkiyah three times. Then we blow Tkiyah Shvarm Tkiyah three times. Then we blow Tkiyah Tuna Tkiyah three times. Now, what happens, the last thing of the first set is a Tkiyah. Because you blow Tkiyah Shvarm Tuna Tkiyah. And then the first one of the next set is also Tkiyah. So the Gemara asks, what happens if you did one long tkiyah for both? That means you didn't stop and start a new tkiyah. You blew a long tkiyah because you have to blow tkiyah tkiyah. Right? So instead of blowing tkiyah tkiyah, you blow one long tkiyah. So it says, Umar talk about Ishain, if he blew the normal set to begin with. Umar Shabashni, and then he blew the second one, Kishtayim, like two. Ain biyadi alaachas. It's only kosher for one tkiyah. You can't blow one tkiyah for two. So the Gemara says, "Am I? Why? According to what we just said, Tistalik lebetarti, let it go as two. What does this mean?" The Gemara just said a statement based on what you were saying. If you blow beginning without end, or end without beginning, is it from the table or from the bookcase in the back? The Gemara said, if you blow, if you hear the beginning without the end, or the end without the beginning, it's good. That's what the Gemara said. So the Gemara asked, if so, so why can't one long tekiya be counted as two halves? Because here you heard the beginning, and here you're hearing the ending. And you said beginning without end, and end without beginning is good. So why can't you just blow one long tekiya and count it the first half of the first one, the second half of the second one? So the Gemara says, but nevertheless, pasukit, the Gemara answer is very simple. There's still a difference. Pasukit kiyosim yadodi le paskinin. We can't split one into two. Meaning as follows. If I hear one tekiya, and I hear either the beginning of the end or the end, it's good. But to make one into two, that I can't do. So therefore the Gemara says, if I blow one long tekiya, I can't do it. Why? Because that means I'm making one tekiya into two. I can't cut one into two. But if I hear two separate tekiyas, and I hear one without beginning without end, and then without beginning, then it will be good. So the Gemara is Tashma, come, I'll ask you another question. If somebody blows shofar into a pit, that means you're standing in a pit and you blow shofar. What's the problem with it? You get an echo. So now the shaila is, are you hearing the shofar? Are you hearing the echo? Or l'teich hadus. Hadus is a cistern, which is, Rashi explains, a pit above the ground. You know, there's a pit in the ground, there's a pit on top of the ground. Or l'teich hapitam, or you blow into a large barrel. So the Gemara says, not like this. Are you yaitz a shofar or not? So he says, imkel shofar shama. If you heard the voice of the shofar itself, yotze yoyaitze. Vimkel avada. But if you heard only the voice of an echo, meaning not the original voice of the shofar, lo yotze. You didn't yoyaitze. Now the Gemara says they basically. So the Gemara is assuming now. It's a strange concept a little bit. The Gemara is saying, when you blow in a pit, the echo doesn't start right away. First you blow, and then the echo bounces back. So the Gemara's question is, why can't you be yaitza from what you heard before the echo came in? Because if you're saying you can hear a half a tekiya and be yaitza, either the first half or the second half, so if a guy blows in a pit, even though there's an echo, why can't you hear what went on before the echo happened? That's what Gemara says. V'amai according to what you just said, leipuk b'tchilas tekiya. Let him be fulfill his obligation from the beginning of the tekiya, become it the live of color before the echo gets into it. Okay? So the Gemara answers, you're right, we're going to take away the first answer of the Gemara. In other words, this is very interesting because L'chair is not a very strong question because L'chair, the echo starts right away, you didn't hear the tekiya long enough. The tekiya has to be a certain size. But the Gemara is not learning that, for whatever reason, I don't know. But the Gemara is saying that if you heard the voice of the shofar, even though you heard an echo, it's no good. So Gemara says, why? If you say the beginning without the end, it should be good. So Gemara says, you're right. We take back what we said. It's possible to hear two voices at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's possible to hear it. The Gemara says, Elotar tikolim echad gavro leimishtam. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara is going back to the original question. Why is it that the shofar and the chatzetzes were heard at the same time? Mm-hmm. If you can't hear two voices. So the Gemara answers another scientific concept. Two voices from the same person you can't hear. But two voices from two different people you could hear at the same time. And therefore, one guy blew the chatzetzes. One guy blew the shofar. You're able to hear one without the next. By the way, this Gemara, by the way, before we get to the Gemara's new answer, about what we discussed many times, about listening to something through a microphone or a telephone and all that. This Gemara says clearly that if you hear a shofar, when the Torah says you have to hear a shofar, the Torah says you have to hear the original voice of the shofar. If you hear an echo, the Braisa says clearly you're not Yetzer. Okay, it's a Mishnah, not even a Braisa. The Mishnah says you're not Yetzer if you hear an echo. Even though the echo is coming from the sound of the shofar that the guy blew, you have to hear the original voice of the shofar. You can't hear any side things. Based on that, when somebody speaks through a telephone, you don't hear the voice. You hear a mechanically reproduced voice. If somebody listens through a microphone, again, the voice coming out of the out of the speakers is not the original voice of the person. It's a mechanically reproduced voice. It's exactly like the echo that the Mishnah says clearly, you're not Yetzer.
If you want to be technical, even in a room when you blow, it bounces.
Yeah, but that's only if you could tell that there's an echo. You're right. L'mashal, in a canyon, where there's much more of an echo, you have a much bigger problem, then you have to make sure that you're listening to it from the original voice that you could hear, and not from the person. The problem in the pit is much smaller. So the echo is right away, so to speak. Right. Let's I give you an example by a chuppah. When the man says Ariat Mekadeshesli, and you want him to hear it straight from the woman, from the horse's mouth, from the husband's mouth, so to speak, she has to make sure that she's not hearing it through the mic. You have to make sure that you're hearing it straight from the chosn. So many times the rav will cover the mic for that second, or if they're close enough, you know, the mic is, you can hear the guy himself. If you can hear the person himself, then it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you're hearing the echo of it, then you're takanat yetzer. And that's why you can't, here, I'll give you an example. Obviously, Shafi, you can't have through a telephone because you're not allowed to use a telephone on Rosh Hashanah. But what happens if somebody wants to hear a Havdalah through the telephone, or, you know, something like that, so you're not yetzer. But if, let's say, why? Because the Gemara says, if you hear the echo, you're not Yetzer. But Lamashul, if you have neighbors, yeah, and you have houses next to each other, and a man's making Avdol in one house, and the windows are open, and the people can hear the Avdol in the next house, there's no problem. You're Yetzer. There's no problem, because he's hearing the original voice. But if you put it through a speakerphone, or a microphone, or a telephone, you're not Yetzer, because the Gemara says, oh yeah, if you don't hear the original voice, you hear the voice of an echo, you're not Yetzer.
Even you don't see it.
You don't have to see it, you have to hear it. Mm. You don't have to see Avdolah, you have to hear Avdolah. Mm. You have to hear Kiddush. I mean,
what if you don't say Boromar HaYesh, okay?
You're Yetzer Avdolah. If you have a chance later, you go and take a candle and do it, or two matches. Avdolah is two separate things. To be Yetzer Avdolah, you're Yetzer without psalmim, without Eish. What happens if you don't have candle, you don't have psalmim, you just don't have. All you have is a cup of wine. You make Avdolah without it. So you don't say the brach on the psalmim, you don't say brach on the Eish. So Halacha says, it's preferred later if you have an opportunity to go get a candle or something and do the brach. It's, by the way, nothing to do with Avdolah. The Moshe, I'll give you an example.
Like Kiddush and
Boroparagapa. Well, Kiddush, is part of the Kiddush. No, this is different.
So you're allowed to make Kiddush on Shackle, too?
By day, not by night. Or Avdolah. But you have to say the Bracha Shackle on the Abidvare. Yeah. But you need a Bracha of either the Boroparagapa and the Shackle, depending what the Shackle is. But Moshul, when Tisha B'Av is Shabbos or Sunday, that's pushed off to Sunday. Yeah? So you can't make Avdolah Saturday night because it's Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to drink. Right? You're not allowed to eat. But you still do the Beinamera Ha'esh Saturday night without Havdalah. Because Eish is only Saturday night. You can make Havdalah through Tuesday. But if you don't make it Saturday night, you don't do Beinamera Ha'esh. Right? So 1 second. So if there's no Havdalah Saturday night, for whatever reason it is, you still do Beinamera Ha'esh, because that's the Inyan. It's nothing to do with Havdalah. Lepera, we do it together. Because it's connected to Havdalah, whatever. You know. But technically, if you have no wine, you could still do the Beinamera Ha'esh. And you should. But coming back to this point, So the Gemara is saying, if you hear shofar through a pit, you're not yetz. If you hear the echo, you're not yetz. You're not yetz. But now the Gemara answers a different answer. The Gemara asks a question, how can you have the chatzesis, the trumpets, and the shofar blowing together, if you can't hear two things at the same time? So first the Gemara went through a whole different answer. You talk a cant, and the shofar here was longer, so you heard the shofar, and you heard end without beginning, a beginning without end. Now the Gemara changed its mind. And the Gemara learns, no, you have to hear the whole shofar. You can't hear half, you know, half tekiah, and you need to hear the whole tekiah from beginning to end. Aye, how can you have the chatzes and shofar blowing simultaneously if you can't hear two voices at the same time? So the Gemara says, two people, two voices from one person cannot be heard. That's why Hashem, Zachar and Shamar, which was a one Hashem, did a miracle to make Zachar and Shamar together. But you can't hear from one person two voices. From two people, you could. But the Gemara asks now, the Gemara is not finished. The Gemara asks, Umitre gavre mi mishtame, and from two people, you could hear two voices. Vatanya, we learned in a braise, it says, but Torah, when it comes to reading the Torah in the shul, echad kerev, echad metargim. One can read the Torah, and one can translate the Torah. I'll explain in a second. Ubevad, shloyo echad kerev, well, it's a whole bunch of versions. Ubevad, shloyi ushnayim kerim, ushnayim metargaminen. You can't have two people reading, though, and two people translating. In the time of the Gemara, people only spoke Aramaic. That was it. So they had what was called a meturgamen, a translator. It wasn't even a simultaneous translation. The guy read in Hebrew, and then somebody translated into Aramaic. Then he read again in Hebrew. So the Gemara says you could have one guy reading, one guy translating in Hebrew.
At the same time?
No. But you can't have two and two doing it. That means you can't have two people reading the Torah and two people translating. Why? What do you see from there? Because if two people are reading the Torah, you can't hear two voices at the same time. You're not going to hear anything. So the Gemara's question is, you just got through saying from two people. You could hear two voices at the same time if two people are speaking. You can hear both of them, so why can't you have two people reading the Torah or two people translating at the same time? So the Gemara says, no. Holy Damya, what you're talking about is only likened to the end. Why? It says, Bahalul b'Megillah, but when it comes to saying Halal, or reading the Megillah, Afilu Asara Kaden, even if 10 people are reading simultaneously, you could do it. Why? Ailuchay, you can't hear two voices at the same time. The Gemara says, Alma, you see from here, Kivin the Chaviv, something which is special. Yoyev Daiti, you could do it. Hachanami, the same thing over here, because Shofar is so precious. Yoyev Daiti Vishami, you can concentrate and hear the voice of the Shofar. Meaning, the Gemara says as follows. The Torah they always read, so to speak, it wasn't special. Like, you know, Torah reading is not as special as Megillah reading. Megillah reading, you do once a year, you know, people get all excited about it. So when something is precious, you could do two voices at the same time and concentrate to hear one out of the two. But if it's not precious to you, Yutaka can't have it. So when it comes to reading Torah, which is daily, you can't have two people reading a pasuk and two people reading Targum at the same time, because you're not going to be able to concentrate. But something like Hallel and Megillah, or Shofar for that matter, even though there's Chatzetzris and Shofar going together at the same time, you could still do it. Because something which is precious, you can hear. So when somebody tells you, by the way, when you tell somebody, I can't hear you, too many people are talking at the same time, it shows it's not precious to you. Because if the guy knows how to learn, he'll tell you if it's precious, then you would be able to hear two voices at the same time, the Gemara says, and concentrate. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, El Alama Mayrich B'Shaifat, so if you're telling me that two voices could be heard at the same time, why did the shofar extend beyond the trumpets, the chatzetzers? If you could blow it simultaneously, you can hear the shofar and the chatzetzers. The Gemara says, no, it's not because of listening. Later to show and to publicize, shemitzvah sayyem b'shofar. that the mitzvah of the day is to blow shofar. You're right. The truth of the matter is you can hear both things at the same time, because shofar is precious. Why did they blow the shofar longer than the trumpets? To show that the mitzvah of the day is the shofar, not the trumpets. That's what the Gemara is answering. Okay, now the Gemara goes into the first wide line. The Gemara is going into a new, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said the difference between the shofar of Rosh Hashanah and the trumpets or the shofar that they blew on the fast days. So it says, Ubetainius on fast days, shall zchorim, they blew the shofar from a male animal which was bent, upiv, in the mouth of it was mitzupa kesev, plated with silver. In other words, Rosh Hashanah said you blew a straight one and it was plated with gold. And like we learned, not where the mouth is, because the mouth has to touch the shofar. It means a little bit beyond the mouth, it was plated with gold. And shofar, Rosh Hashanah, was straight, the Gemara says. Lepo, we don't do that, but that's what the Gemara said, the Mishnah said. But on a fast day, they use a bent shofar, and it was plated with silver. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between Rosh Hashanah, that it was straight and gold, and a fast day was bent and silver? So the Gemara asks, Maishnahasim, what's the difference over there by Rosh Hashanah, to Zav, where it's made out of gold? It's plated out of gold. Well, Maishnahacha the Kesef, and why over here is it silver? Either make it both gold or both silver. Why is Rosh Hashanah the shofar plated with gold in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the fast days it was plated with silver? So the Gemara answers as follows. Iboy Yisem, if you want, I'll answer you. Two answers. Number one, Kol Kenufya the Kesef, who? Anytime Kenufya, when they assembled the Jews, because Meshe Rabbeinu, besides the trumpets of the fast days, they had trumpets. It says in the Chumash, Hashem told Meshe Rabbeinu, make trumpets, and when you want to call a meeting to get the Jews together, you blow it once or twice, you know, the various sounds. So he says, any gathering was made out of silver. Dichsiv, asei l'choshtech, atzeis kasev, you should make yourself two trumpets of silver. So the fact that on the fast day it was made to gather people together, so they did it out of silver. That's one answer. Yiboy Seima, or another answer is, Hateir Chosol Memeinu Shel Yisrael. The Torah Pashut has pity on Jewish money. And it's very expensive to plate something with gold. So the Eibishter just said, you know what, for the fast days, silver's enough. Where do you learn out? It's very interesting. Where do you learn out that the Torah pities the money of the Jew? From this week's, yesterday's Parsha. And the Parsha before. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, if a guy thought that the house is leprosy. If a guy thought my house is leprosy and he doesn't know. So he comes to the Kohen, the Pasuk says, and he says, I think my house is leprosy. So the Torah says, what does the Kohen do? The Kohen says to the guy, empty out the house. Take all the furniture, everything out of the house. Afterwards, the Kohen comes, the Torah says, to say whether the house is Tomei or not. So the question is, why does the Torah say take out the furniture? So the answer is very simple. If the Kohen comes to the house and says Tomei, then everything in the house is Tomei. So you can't use it anymore. Or you have to, you know, take it apart, whatever. But now that the Kohen didn't come yet, the Torah says, you know what? I don't want you to ruin all your money. Take it out. Why? If the Kohen comes and says Tomei, why wasn't it retroactively Tomei? Because the Gemara says, until the Kohen says Tomei, it's not.
Only the things that are mikabel tumah, right?
Right.
What about the money between the walls?
That? No, that you don't take out, because that you don't know about yet. until you take it out. No, but that, they put the money in the mikveh, don't worry about it. It's a problem, no problem with that. But the question is, if the house was factually Tomei, why didn't the furniture already become Tomei from before? So the Gemara says, because until the Kohen pronounces it Tomei, it's not. So the Torah pities the money of the Jew and says, take out everything from the house that we shouldn't have more damage. So the same thing, the Gemara says, the Torah pities the money of the Jew, and the Torah says, instead of plating it with gold, do it with silver.
Okay. You have the same reasoning you had last week or the other week, that no, they use the gold for golden calf, now they're going to shofar with it. It's going to be plating the shofar with gold. Could you say that?
Yeah, but the Gemara asked that question before.
Silver.
And the Gemara answered, that because it wasn't inside in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the shofar was outside, it didn't matter. That's what the Gemara asked the question before, Taka. No, the question is, why can't you ask a different question? How could they make gold on the shofar if the prosecutor doesn't become the defense attorney, like we learned before? But the Gemara asked the question before about the shofar, and the Gemara says, shofar wasn't blown inside. That's why the Mizbeach was made out of gold. I mean, everything was, that didn't matter, because it was outside. By the way, you know, this is a practical din today, this concept. You know, there was a Maisa, a guy, passed away in 770 by Kol Nidre. The Rebbe came down to Kol Nidre, and a guy died, Mamishkut Eschus, died by the Rebbe at Kol Nidre. He died. So the Rebbe was downstairs, the Rebbe said that all the Kohanim should leave, and then the Rav should paskin that he's dead. Or doctors, no, they should. In other words, like this, a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei, right? So if the guy's Tomei, then all the Kohanim become Tomei, and you're not allowed, a Kohen can become Tomei to a dead body. So until doctors proclaim a guy dead, he's alive. Because Torah has to say he's dead. Doctors are the experts, or the whatever. So the Rebbe said all the Kohanim should go out, and then they should make the decision if he's dead or not. But he passed away, I mean, but. So the same thing, first, until you proclaim something, it's not. Until Torah proclaims it. Like over here, the Gemara says, until the Kohen proclaimed Tomei, it wasn't Tomei. So you take out the furniture, and at least you don't ruin the money. And so on.
Levi has the same din as coming to Tommy.
No, Levi could become Tommy.
What is this?
Mrs. Kohen could also. In other words, a woman Kohen, a female Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, no? Could go to the cemetery, no problem.
Daughter of a Kohen?
Daughter of a Kohen, Mrs. Kohen.
Then she can't eat truma, though.
No, she could. If she goes to the mikveh, she becomes tar. No, but in other words, when the Torah says, in a few weeks we're going to read Parshas Emer, it says Emer al Kohanim b'nei Aharon lenefesh lo yitam ba'amav. Speak to the Kohen, the sons of Aaron, that you're not allowed to become, you know, tamei for a dead body. So the Gemara says, why? Everybody knows who the Kohanim are. The Torah has to say Kohanim b'nei Aharon. Kohanim, everybody knows, come from Aaron. I mean, every 2-year-old knows that. So the answer is the Torah is teaching us halacha. That only B'nai Aaron, only the sons of Aaron, cannot become Tomei. V'loi B'nai Aaron, meaning a female Kohen, meaning a daughter of a Kohen, could go to a cemetery. In fact, there's an interesting Shaila. There's an interesting Shaila in Halacha. We're getting off the topic, but anyway, who cares? A wife of a Kohen who's pregnant, can she go to a cemetery? What's the Shaila? Maybe she's carrying a boy. Maybe she's carrying a boy, and the boy Kohen, because her husband's a Kohen, so the boy's a Kohen.
They're separated. They're not born yet. The kid is separated.
So, the reason why it says in Aloch, a lot of people won't, by the way, but it says the reason in Aloch why you're allowed to is because it's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Maybe she'll miscarry, maybe not. And even if she has a baby, maybe it'll be a girl. So it's a 50-50 doubt. So then you go into the shadow. What happens if the woman knows what she's having? And what happens if she knows she's having a boy? Then it's only a single doubt. Maybe she'll miscarry, maybe not.
But if a coin can go in the cemetery inside of a box, it's okay to go inside a mother's room.
No? So some people, some people want to say that heter too, because it's like a mechitza. What?
A lot of doctors make mistakes.
Oh, so then besides that, even when doctors tell you what you're going to have, they're not always right. I know a guy in the used to daven here. He told me that his cousin was having a baby, and the doctor said to her, it's a girl. For sure it's a girl. And they decorated the room in pink, and they bought everything in pink, and they washed it, you know. They bought it, they took it out, the clothing, and they didn't have our minig of not buying things before a baby's born. They mamish did everything pink and bought, spent money on everything pink, and the pearl, she had a boy. So never hold that money wasted.
Save it for the next coming baby.
Right? Next baby.
Oh, but you said before there's a custom that pregnant women don't go.
That's the custom. We're talking about halacha. Amen.
But before the baby is born, so I think it's not alive yet.
Sure, it's alive. It's living.
That doesn't have the significance of being a male or female, so she can go to the cemetery.
But what happens if she's in her ninth month, let's say, and the baby's all finished, except the hair and the ninth month of pregnancy, the baby's fully developed. The ninth month basically is the hair and the nails that come. The ninth month.
The baby is fully developed.
Fully developed. After 7 months, it's fully developed.
When you say Kohen cannot go to the cemetery, even like is a kid under, cannot go.
It says, "Emer alakayim v'amarta emer v'amarta lahazir agdelim alaktanim." The gdelim, the adults have to warn the kids. I mean, make sure that the kids can't either.
What if they go to the mikveh after? I mean, doesn't
that
help?
No. It helps as far as the tumah, you're not allowed to become tumah. First of all, you need a paraduma to get out of the tumah. But even if not, even if a kohen went to a cemetery for his own father's funeral, which he's allowed to do, right? So he's tumah already anyway. So now let him go to any cemetery and he's tumah anyway. No, every time he goes, it's another lav. Now if a kohen's in the cemetery and they tell him, go out because you're a kohen, every time they say go out and he doesn't listen, it's another lav, another sin.
That's why we need to have a great husband for Mashiach.
Right. So together with Mashiach. The Rambam says Mashiach is going to do the 10th paraduma.
Yeah, but all the Kohanim are tameh.
Yeah, when Mashiach comes, we'll have a paraduma and everybody will get pure and that's it.
How is the Kohen allowed to go into a cemetery? I mean, to bury his close relative if there's other dead bodies in there.
So, Taka, when a Kohen buries his father, what used to be in Europe, they buried a mamish at the front row of the gate of the cemetery, that he's not in contact with any other graves. Or today, what they Taka do, it's a big problem. You have to drive into the cemetery, and you have to bury him near the road, that he shouldn't have to go. He can go over other graves to the funeral, but he can't go back. He can't go out of the cemetery because then he's becoming, it's not his father's funeral anymore. Now it's for him to go home, he can't go over graves. So they have to drive in and bury a Kohen in a way that it's right next to the road that he's not going over other graves.
I was reading a book, it said that even the Kohen cannot be a surgeon. Let's say you do heart transplant, you take the heart from the one person, you practically kill the guy and you put the other one inside. Is considered met physically.
I can't tell you what you read, but did you murder the guy when you took out his heart? No, so he's alive. He's not dead.
Well, he's practically without a heart.
No, you put in a machine. A heart's a pump. All the heart is a pump. Okay, if a person has an artificial heart, he's not dead. He's alive. He doesn't have a heart, but he has a machine that's doing a pump. That's pumping instead of the heart. All the heart is a pump. The question is, a Kohen becoming a doctor because they learn on dead bodies.
Right.
They learn on organs of the person. And then the question is also, a Kohen going into a cemetery. Because depending where the morgue is, where they keep dead bodies, it might be connected to the area where the Kohen is going, and then the Kohen will become tameh from the people and from the dead bodies in the morgue. So certain hospitals they cannot go into, certain hospitals they could go into through certain doors in certain ways that you don't come in contact with the morgue. But it's not so much to perform surgery. First of all, it's a question of pikuach nefesh. Save a life. But in addition to that, the question of a doctor being a surgeon is not doing the surgery. The question is the learning and studying of it. That's why some koyanim that want to go into the medical field become dentists. Because you don't learn on dead bodies. Dentistry, you practice on people.
You practice on
people. At their expense.